From our second lesson today, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the man's eyes with the clay, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. Like many things in St. John's Gospel, the washing that takes place in this morning's New Testament lesson is highly symbolic. The man who is cured represents all of us in our natural state. We are unable to see the truth. We're unable to perceive many things about the world we live in. We're unable even to perceive many things about ourselves. Until that day comes that Jesus opens our eyes. We are creatures of dust, as we learn from Genesis, and Jesus begins to cure this man by imposing on him the symbol of his created nature, just as every priest does on Ash Wednesday. Jesus takes the dust of the earth, he holds it together with his own spittle, and places it over the man's flawed eyes, and tells him to go and wash it off. This is an example of baptismal imagery. We pray in the baptismal rite that the adult or the child may be given what he does not have in the natural state into which he is born. So the man washes off his old nature as symbolized by the mud and emerges from the water complete. He is able to see and he has a new life. This is only the beginning, as he still has to grow into that new life. When asked what he believes about Jesus, the man says he is a prophet. It is not until later that he fully recognized the divinity of Jesus and began to worship him. Nevertheless, the man became an evangelist, as all baptized people should. Now, when I use the word evangelist, you may think of someone on TV waving a Bible, soliciting contributions, but that's not what I mean. I don't even mean someone preaching on a street corner or knocking on doors to ask people if they're saved. The word evangelist really means, in its classical sense, is someone who announces good news. In this case, the good news was that the man had been healed and he'd been made whole by Jesus. All of us can be evangelists in that sense. All you have to do is testify to your own experiences. Often the opportunity to do so emerges when someone asks you why you do the things that many people do not do. I'm referring to simple things, like why do you attend church every week when there's a football game on or some other event? Why do you say grace before meals, even in restaurants or around strangers? The man in the story paid a price for his testimony, and sometimes you may have to as well. At the time this gospel was written, the leaders of the Jewish religion had agreed among themselves that anyone who confessed Jesus as a prophet, much less the Messiah, would be expelled from the synagogues and treated as an outcast. That is why the man's parents were so careful about their testimony. They were willing to confirm that the man that was healed was their son, and that he had indeed been born blind. Beyond that, they were willing to say anything. "He is of age," they said, "ask him what happened." In our society today, you are likewise in danger of becoming an outcast if you dare to testify in public about your faith in Jesus. People may shun, they may mock you, they may question your intelligence as well as your integrity, or they may say that you're weak if you need God in your life. Is that a price you're willing to pay? The elite scholars in this story had no respect either for Jesus or his witnesses. They assumed that since Jesus, who is not one of them, could not possibly have done what the man said he did. When the man defended his position, they replied, "Thou was altogether born in sin, and would you teach us?" Some of the elite in our society say pretty much the same thing to those of us whom they consider to be ignorant and gullible. But the man stuck to his story. He could not deny his own experiences, and he would not let others deny them either. So he was in fact ejected from the synagogue and considered to be in the margins of society. But then a wonderful thing happened. Jesus himself sought him out and came to him and strengthened his faith. Jesus does this all the time. He does not leave his witnesses hanging out alone and unsupported, and he will not leave you that way either when you give your testimony. "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" asked Jesus. "Who is he?" asked the man. "I am," said Jesus. In that little exchange, Jesus not only gave the man new insight, but he also claimed to be the only one who had the right to judge the man. He assured him that it really didn't matter what the elite might say or what anybody might think. The only opinion that mattered was the judgment of the Son of Man. The Son of Man is a figure in the book of Daniel who comes from the clouds of heaven, as Jesus did in his ascension. He stands before the throne of the Ancient of Days and is given the authority to judge the nations of the world. When we say in the Apostles' Creed that Jesus shall come in glory to judge both the quick and the dead, that is what we're saying. He is the one who sits upon the throne of glory in the famous 25th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel and passes judgment on the world, dividing the sheep from the goats, admitting the sheep to his kingdom, and casting the goats into everlasting fire. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into the world, that they may not see, they might, and that they which see might be made blind." While it is nice to get compliments and positive affirmations from people, in the end it really doesn't matter what other people think of you. It doesn't even matter really what you think of yourself. It matters what God thinks of you. He alone has the authority to admit you to his eternal presence or send you off by yourself where you really are an outcast. Jesus himself says, "Fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The psalmist says in Psalm 56, "In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." And again in Psalm 118, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me." St. Paul says to his critics in the Corinthian church, "It is a small thing that I should be judged by you or any human tribunal. I do not even judge myself. It is the Lord who judges me." The man in the story was willing to be banished from the synagogue for his witness to the power of Christ. The whole Christian community to whom the fourth gospel was directed was likewise banished and persecuted by the religious elite. The apostles and many others were executed for their testimony before the political rulers of the day. But Christ sustained every one of them and endowed them with his own glory. So shall he do with all of you who have the courage to testify boldly to what Jesus has meant in your life. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.